So probably a couple or two, 3 years ago, I introduced this whole idea of the concept of sacred bond when it came to marriage and wanted to revisit just some family issues over the next few weeks. That's like where I really feel like God wants us to go, where he wants us to just focus on and talk about. So back then, this is the statement that we made, okay? That marriage is a sacred bond, a covenant between one man and one woman, instituted by and publicly entered into before God, which is permanent, sacred, intimate, mutual, and exclusive. Now, I know you read that and you go, yeah, but that's not how they do it on the Fosters, okay? I understand that. You're not going to see that on a sitcom. You're not going to see that on your favorite show. This is not how they operate. This is not how they run. This is not how it is portrayed in our culture anywhere, that this is what marriage looks like. However, as people who are trying to follow Jesus, this is what Jesus says marriage looks like. This is what it looks like. This is the way it is, and this is the way it needs to be. And there's something why God does this, why he has put together marriage and family the way he has. And I think sometimes we miss that. I think sometimes we miss, well, why is it this way? Why did God design marriage this way? And why a family the way that God talks about as we open scripture? And I think it's this, that we don't understand this. What does God want for you? Jesus said it this way, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I don't think we think about that sometimes. I think sometimes if we're not careful, we fall into this mindset that God's just trying to keep me from having fun, that all the good stuff's out there somewhere, that restrictions and boundaries that God sets are just trying to rob my fun and kill my good time, and everybody else seems to be doing whatever they want, and you think they have a rich and satisfying life. You think the people you're trying to be like, the people that are on the sitcoms that you watch and the movies that you enjoy, you think they have a rich and satisfying life because you don't know that God wants that for you and God desires that for you. And so that's why he sets boundaries and rules so that we would flow and follow in that and find that flourishing. That's what God wants for every marriage in this room this morning. He wants you to flourish. He wants you to do well. He wants your kids to do well. He wants your family to flourish. He wants to give you a rich and satisfying life. That's what he wants your home to be like. And I think sometimes we just miss that. That's what God wants for you. That is God's desire for you. So when God sets boundaries and he says, don't go there, be careful of this, watch out for that. He is not trying to keep you from a rich and satisfying life. He's trying to give you a rich and satisfying life. And I guess it's been my concern and what's been on my heart for several months now is I don't know how many of us in this room are flourishing. I don't know how many in your marriages are flourishing. I don't know how many in your families are flourishing. I don't know how many of you in your marriage would say it is rich and satisfying right now. And I'm not sure how many of your homes you would look and say, boy, it's a rich and satisfying experience. I would just imagine not many of you had that story this morning, even coming to church. It didn't feel very rich and satisfying this morning. And so I just don't see a lot of that. And I just want you to know that God wants that for all of us. He wants that in our marriages, and he wants that in our families. And one of the biggest things we can do is get things out of order. Can I just give you a very simple order? Number one, you're Christ follower. That's if you're here and following Christ. Number one, you're a Christ follower. Number two is your marriage. Number three, if you have kids, you're a parent. And number four is your work. You get those out of order and everything gets thrown into chaos. Your work gets put number one. Oh, I got to make money. I got to focus on this. And that becomes then your savior, okay? So that's what you give yourself to over and over again, okay? You get it wrong parent-wise and your kids become number one. You throw everything out of balance. This is the order, okay? Because then when we read a statement like this and you're like, oh, I don't know how anybody does that. Remember, we're number one. We're a Christ follower. And that means Jesus gets to define what our marriage looks like, what our family looks like, and he actually gets a say in that. Oh, because we're that first, And then Jesus speaks in to tell me, how do I be a good husband? How do I be a good wife? So that we have a rich and satisfying life. Then how do I parent my kids? How do I make sure they have everything they need? How do I make sure that they're raised in the right way? Then there's my work. And you put all those in the right order, and God is pleased. And ultimately, guess what it leads to? A rich and satisfying life. But so often, isn't it true? Crisis comes in, and things get out of order, and all of a sudden we have these all out of order, and it changes everything. So I guess I'm hoping in this series, maybe just to put a little order, to get us to think about things that we normally just don't think about. And so for this morning, we're going to be in the book of Colossians. You might remember we spent a couple months there at the beginning of the year, and this is just two verses I did not get to that I wanted to revisit at some point and get to them. So we're just going to use those to kick off our series this morning. And the whole point is family is great and family is challenging. Isn't that true? Everybody here is like, yes, it's great, it's awesome, and it's a major challenge. It's major stress. It's major, challenging at times to be a parent. And so the two verses we're going to look at today, one addresses kids. And by the way, when the Bible does that, it addresses anybody 18 and younger, okay? Just so you don't think, oh, I don't think I'm a kid, I'm exempt, okay? No, you're not, okay? So when you read that, that's where it goes to. And then it's going to address fathers. We're going to use it just to address parents as a whole this morning. So we're going to take these two verses and we're going to get as far as what he says to kids and what he says to parents, okay? Pretty simple statement coming up, okay? Colossians 3:20, what? Children, obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Okay? There's just not a lot of wiggle room there, is it? There isn't, yeah, but you don't understand. Can the pastor give me a hall pass so I don't have to obey them because certain situations apply in my family? No. It's really simple, okay? That if you're here and you're under 18, you're supposed to obey with limited drama and a good attitude, okay? And some of you are like, boy, I love that in my home, right? Okay? I love that in my home. That's what that means, okay? That you're going to obey, you're going to do what you're being asked to do with limited drama and a good attitude. And again, some of you are like snapshotting this, okay? You're like, we need about a poster size of this on our wall at our house, okay? I understand that because this is just a very simple statement, right? But it's tough and it's challenging. Okay? Especially when, you have certain kids at a certain age and it just, that's what it seems to be like. But limited drama and a good attitude. And all the kids in here are like, yeah, but you don't understand my parents. Okay? They're this and they're that. And I'm not sure, they know what they're doing at times. And I understand it. Do you know why? Because if you watched, okay, the same sitcoms I'm telling you that have nothing to do with marriage, they're not going to instruct you. They're not going to help you. They're certainly not going to help you with your family. Do you know why? Because most of them, especially the one geared to kids, tell them what? Your parents are idiots. Every adult in the room, okay, from your principal at school to your teachers, they're all dumb. They know nothing. You're smarter than they are. And so you just rebel and do whatever you want. That's what the culture is teaching our kids. And then we're all surprised when they do that. Well, that's what they watch and that's what they think is acceptable, and that's what they think is being instructed of them. Oh, everybody does this. Every generation does this. No, it's not true. But that's what you think. Every generation does this, so I'm just going to do whatever I want and live however I want to live because ultimately my parents, my teachers, the people who care about me and an authority, they literally know nothing. And if you think that, then you do that to your own demise of not having a rich and satisfying life. But let's just assume this morning, okay, for the sake of discussion, that your parents don't know what they're doing, okay? It's not true, but what if they don't, okay? Did you catch the last part of that verse? That you don't obey just because they're your parents. Did you catch that? Not because they're worthy, because Christ is worthy. Because what did he say? Obey, why? Because this pleases God. You mean it pleases Jesus when I take out the trash? Yeah, with limited drama and a good attitude, it actually pleases Jesus when you do that. Because you're obeying at that point. Yeah, when you actually clean up your room, okay? Not just throw everything in the closet, right? And shut the door and hope nobody checks, okay? When you do that with limited drama and a good attitude, guess what? That pleases God. The first place we have to help our kids start as they're walking the path of following Jesus is, guess what? That starts now. Whether you're 8, 12, 14, that starts now. You just don't wait till, oh, I become an adult, now I can follow Jesus. No, you can actually follow him now. And what pleases Jesus and what helps you as you follow him is you actually do what your parents say. And even if you think they don't know what they're doing, you're doing it because of Jesus. Because that pleases him. That brings him glory. That actually pleases God. That actually is a whole part of our following Jesus. And maybe we've never helped our kids connect that before. That, hey, this is what following Jesus looks like at your age. It looks different because you have different responsibilities and a different place in your life. But guess what it means in one point? That you obey your parents because that's going to please the Jesus that you say that you are following. Obey your mom and dad out of respect for Christ. That is the simplest way to take that verse. That your role, your responsibility is to obey. And what I think is interesting here in the book of Colossians is that Paul is making an assumption. Do you know what that assumption is? There's kids in the room. There are people under 18 in the room in the early church who are engaged, who are following, who are a part of what's going on. They just haven't been drugged there by their parents, okay? They actually want to be part of this Jesus movement. And Paul's going, you want to be part of this Jesus movement? That's awesome. Here's where you start. Kids in the room, here's where you start. Here's where it starts for you. Here's where it begins for you. Here's where it goes for you. Right? And then there's still all the objections. Yeah, but what if, what if, what if, what if? And there's lots of what ifs, right? So that's why Paul now turns, and in the next verse, he's going to speak to parents. And I know that the scripture talks to fathers. We're just going to use it to talk to parents. But he addresses both groups at the same time in the same place. That he's going to say, hey, kids, here's your responsibility. Here's what it looks like as you follow Jesus. And then he's going to look at parents and say, oh, by the way, parents, as you follow Jesus and as you help your kids, here's what it looks like. Fathers, do not aggravate your children or they will become discouraged. Now see, all the kids just like perked up. Oh yeah, this is my house, right? This is my house where I'm just aggravated all the time. Okay, and here's this instruction. Don't aggravate them or they will become discouraged. In other words, if you build up resentment, your kids will stop trying. You understand that? You actually have an opportunity to help your kids do what they need to do. But if you build up resentment, we're going to talk about how that happens. What does that look like, parents? That we unknowingly at times build up resentment in our kids so they ultimately just stop trying. Okay? Most kids want to please their parents. Okay? They want to do what their parents say, and unless it's way too hard and there's way too many different situations going on, most want to. And what happens is, because of things that we do that maybe at times we're not even aware of, we just build up some resentment in our kids so they just stop trying. Well, why does it matter? Why does it matter for me to do this? Okay? Why does it matter for me to obey with limited drama and a good attitude? Because nothing ever works. And nothing ever satisfies them, and no standard's ever good enough. And that's, you know, and all you end up doing is building up resentment. This is what his challenge is. Parents, don't build up resentment in your kids, or they will stop trying. So how do we do that? We do that, first of all, with harsh words. With harsh words. And most of the times, we don't even realize the things that we say. We don't. Now, if half of what your kid says is true, some of you really need to guard your mouths when you talk to your kids. I'm just going to tell you that. I'm just going to be honest with you this morning. If half, I'm not saying everything they say I believe. I'm just saying if half of what they say is true, you need to guard your mouths because you say things that are very destructive to them. Yeah, but it's true. Well, it doesn't matter if it's harsh. If it's harsh, you're going to build up resentment and they're going to stop trying. And you don't want them to do that. And most of the time, it's because you're aggravated, you're upset, you're angry, you got enough stress at work, and you walk into chaos, and then you begin to say things that you shouldn't say. And you call names, and you call people stupid, and you just say things to your kids that are incredibly hurtful, that you would freak out if anybody else said it to your kids. But it happens in your home. And you don't know that what you're doing is you're building up resentment so they'll stop trying. That's what happens with harsh words. That is why the command over and over again in Scripture, guard your heart, because that's where it's coming from, okay? Guard your heart, it'll end up guarding your mouth, and you need to be really careful what you say. Because what you say makes a difference, and what you say hurts, and what you say really does impact your kids. So are there harsh words coming out of your mouth? I can't answer that. I'm just telling you that the Holy Spirit can, and he can help you understand, hey, is that my issue? Is that where I struggle? Nonverbal cues. Any of you have the parent that has that can look, can roll the eyes, okay? My mom was good at this, okay? All I needed was a look of, oh, gosh, okay? So that's why I never looked at her where she was sitting in church, okay? But you ever been there? You ever been there? You can just do it with a look, with a roll of the eyes, and that gets communicated, okay? That actually gets communicated as disappointment. You're a failure. You're no good. And you're like, oh, gosh, I didn't know I was doing that. Because sometimes nonverbal cues can communicate that same thing and can be a huge, huge weight upon your kids. And it can build up resentment, and they will stop trying. Third one, which happens way too often in our culture, is absence. Absence for a few reasons. Number one, you're always busy, always doing something, always gone, You don't have any time to build into your kids, okay? The other problem we have in our culture is we have way too many single-parent families, way too many. Most of this is on the men who, for some reason, get midlife crisis, go find a blonde to hook up with, and just wreck their marriage and family. And it just, I'm just telling you as a pastor, you just get sick of watching it. You just get sick of watching it because they have no idea. It's like if you could just get a hold of them and say, do you realize what you're about to do? Do you realize what you are about to do to your marriage and your family? And it's almost like they have a verse for that. It's somewhere in the Bible that says God wants me to be happy. And that means I can do whatever I want with whoever I want because the ultimate goal for me is that God would, that I could be happy. No, God wants you to have a rich and satisfying life. And it is not about mostly what I think is going to make me happy. So I'm going to leave and wreck my marriage and wreck my kids. And it just gets really hard to watch as men continue to do this. Sometimes it's women that do it. Most of the time it's men. It just gets so discouraging to watch. Your kids need you there. If you're not there, guess what's going to happen? It's going to build up resentment. Okay? It's going to build up resentment in them, and they will stop trying. We have way too many kids growing up without two parents, without two people pouring into their lives. You single moms, let me just tell you, you have my utmost respect because you are doing so much. And most of you are doing that because of a man who decided to not honor God and not do what he was supposed to do. And that's just so hard to watch. And it's so hard what happens. Absence is one of those things that creates that. That's why, again, if you get that system wrong, where it's Christ follower, my marriage, my kids, my work, you get that wrong and work goes to number one, guess what? Your kids don't see you. If they do, you're so stressed out from your 60 to 80 hour work week that you come home, sit down in front of the TV, and you check out, and your kids don't get anything of you. That's being absent. And you're creating resentment that will cause them to stop trying. So don't, please don't let that happen. See, your kids want to know a few things, okay? They want to know, do you love me and will I get my way? Right? Do you love me and will I get my way? And sometimes the answer to both is yes. Most of the time it's yes and no. Yeah, I do love you. No, you're not going to do that, okay? Probably most of you get to try what I do. Yeah, but so-and-so gets to do that. And perhaps you've said the same thing. My parents always said, yeah, but I'm not so-and-so's parent. I don't care what they do. I care about what you do. And so that's the ultimate thing. Do you love me? Do you express that? And ultimately, what happens with their way? Again, if you get the order wrong and your kids are number one, their utmost priority, you can give them whatever they want. To their utmost demise, not to a rich and satisfying life. And that's why we can't get that wrong. Do you love me? Will I get my way? Do you understand that our kids have certain needs? They need to be loved. They need to feel secure. Okay? They need to feel secure. They need to be understood. I understand you're like, Ed, they're 14. Nobody understands them. Okay? I understand that. All right? Okay? They need to feel like you're at least making an attempt to understand what it's like in the world that they're living in. Okay? What it's like. Okay? What it was like for Stephen in school was totally different than it was like for me. Okay? I had 6 people in my graduating class. I think he had 200. Okay? Way different. Way different. So his experience was way different than mine. So it was difficult and harder for me to understand what that was like because my experience was different. And sometimes, parents, if we just be honest, our experience was different. We grew up in a culture far different than what we are dealing with now, okay? Where there is access to just about everything, and there is all sorts of access to evil that you could cut off by keeping your kids from certain places. And now it's all available on their phone, and it makes it even more challenging to understand the time and the culture they lived in and how do we step into their world and help them. They need to feel significant. They need to feel significant. They feel like you're making decisions that are for their good, not just because you want to be happy. They need to understand that. So they need to feel significant, and they need to feel like they belong. And if you took those differently, all of those are about being loved. All of those are about being loved and having that love expressed and shown all the time in your homes. Now, you might talk to the adults in the room. What happens if that wasn't your home growing up? What happens if that wasn't your home growing up and you didn't get those things? You had a dad who walked out early, okay? You had split time between parents, or this wasn't the home and you grew up in, and your parents were abusive, okay? What happens if you didn't get that? Because it's very hard to give that if you didn't get that. And this is where this Christ follower number one is so huge, because you realize we have all of this in Christ. We know what it's like to feel significant, what it's like to belong, what it's like to be loved. When we understand the gospel and that Jesus came and died in my place and rose again for my salvation, we understand he did all of that for us. And all of those things that we need the most, we find all of those in Christ. So even if that wasn't our experience in the home we grew up in, we have all of that in Jesus. All right, let me just end with this morning. What we do as parents and what we do as children reflects what we believe about God. Maybe we've never understood that before. That reflects. You can't go into your home, kids, do whatever you want, and try then to get anybody to believe that you follow Jesus. Because you're doing things that don't please God. So it becomes very hard. That reflects to me what you believe. That means you believe, well, as long as they don't know what they're talking about, I can do whatever I want. And it doesn't reflect about Jesus has put authority in place for me to submit to and follow and be a part of. Parents, it's the same thing. If all we do is build up resentment so our kids stop trying, That's not helping them understand their Heavenly Father. This is why it's so tragic what men are doing and the destruction in a family. Because it makes it hard for our kids to understand a Heavenly Father loves them, believes they're significant, says they belong, that they are loved when dad walked out and they barely see him. Very hard. Because you know what? Well, why would I want a Heavenly Father that does the same thing? I'll pass. I'll pass on that. I'll leave that for somebody else. So what we do reflects what we believe about God. And again, do you know what God wants for us? For everybody in this room is a rich and satisfying life. He wants you to have a rich and satisfying marriage. He wants you to have a family that is rich and satisfying. But I don't know how often we do that. And I don't know how often we see that. And I'm just telling you this morning, the time is just to ask God to help us. So for every parent in the room, we're just going to pray and ask God to help us. For every kid in the room, you're going to pray and ask God to help you. That we get this right. And I know, I know the pushback is, well, this is not how it works in our culture. Yeah, and they're wrong. And I would say, is there much flourishing going on out there? No, there isn't. There isn't much flourishing going on. There isn't much of a rich and satisfying life. There's a lot of things masking for people. Oh, I made all this money. Look at me. Oh, I think it looks good. We got trophies in our house. Yeah, and it's not a rich and satisfying life. It's masked over because we miss what God has in store for us. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. And I'm going to ask two things that you would do this morning. That if you're in the room, you're 18 years old, you're young, you're and under, you would ask God, help me to obey because I know Jesus displeases you. I know you have lots of arguments, you have lots of objections, but it's just it's a point today that you are going to ask your Savior to help you with limited drama and a good attitude to go home and obey. And I want you to ask God to do that. Parents, I'm just going to ask that you would ask the Holy Spirit to help you to know how well you've been. It's very hard sometimes to evaluate ourselves. We know so many stories. You could sit here and tell stories of your coworkers, the absolute disaster that is their family. I understand that. We're not talking about them this morning. We're not talking about the family you grew up in where perhaps someone walked out on you. We're not talking about that family. We're talking about your family right now, the one that you're parenting. And you would ask the Holy Spirit, how am I doing? How are my words? How are my nonverbal cues? And for some of you, you need to ask if you're absent and what that's doing to you. And you're like, no, I'm there. Maybe physically you're there. Emotionally you're not. You've checked out. Because you don't want to rebuild up resentment in them. So they stop trying. So kids, would you pray, ask God to help you to obey because it pleases him. And parents, would you ask to know how well you're doing and what needs to change in your home today?